So good morning and good day to all of you, and I think I see now that we're coming into that time of the year where we have a light show, and the Buddha looks like he's disappearing in the shadows for a while, and probably I will too, and maybe if I remember tomorrow I'll try to put up another light in here that maybe helps you to see better, but also I don't want it to take away this wonderful light show that happens on the wall this time of year. So I want to start by expressing my gratitude to my friends Paul Howler and Fu Schrader for teaching this last 2 weeks. And I was with you all during that time. I was also meditating and listening to them, and delighted and really happy to listen to their wonderful teachings and that their teachings, and also these their own wonderfulness, these years of practice that's so palpable in them, they got to share themselves with you, and you got to meet them. And partly because of the because of what happened the last 2 or 3 weeks, I feel a little bit hesitant to just kind of jump in and offer some new teachings that are, in the kind of mode that I've usually been doing this last year. And so I thought that that may be a nice transition from that time is for me to tell some stories and some Buddhist stories. And remember Fu in particular was very fond of stories. And there is some theory in this field of religious studies that for most religions, stories are more important than doctrine. That at least for most people, the stories of the religion is what they kind of take in and evoke their imagination and provide examples of how to live their lives and guidance for how to live. So I don't know how true it is universally, but it's an interesting theory, and certainly stories are important. So the first story I want to tell today is one that maybe is a bit poignant for California these days, where we have a lot of wildfires, and already we have more wildfires so early in the season than we did last year. So we'll see what happens the rest of the year. But wildfires. So in the ancient world, in India, this is a Jataka tale. That tales are kind of like Aesop's fable, having to do with animals usually, and many of them. And the animals, there's one main character in these stories that turns out to have been the Buddha in a previous life. And so kind of maybe he's developing the virtue, developing himself to become the Buddha sometimes in the future. So this story involves a parrot and a great forest fire that sweeps through the jungle. And as a bird, the bird can relatively easily outfly the fire and come to safety. But as this little parrot is flying away, he sees that underneath him, all these animals are running through the forest to get away from the approaching fire. However, they're coming up against a great lake, and it looks like they're going to be trapped against the lake. And many of these animals can't swim, and so they're stuck between the approaching fire and being burned, or the lake where they would drown. So the little parrot says, I have to do something. I can't just let this continue the way it is. So the parrot dives into the lake to make its little wings wet, and then flies over the hottest part of the fire and sprinkles its, it flaps its wings and sprinkles a little water, drops of water it has onto the fire. And it does that over and over again, back and forth, back and forth. And it doesn't really make any difference on the fire. There's a few drops that are coming down. They probably evaporate before they even hit the fire. But the parrot keeps doing it. And because of the parrot's great dedication and great sacrifice and virtue, it has an impact in the unseen world of ancient India. And that is the great god Brahma, or the great kind of like the Zeus of the pantheon of ancient Indian gods, the great god Brahma or Sakka, depending how it's named. His throne heats up, and apparently that's a phenomenon in the unseen world, that when someone on the earth is being very virtuous, it heats up the throne of the great god. So he decides to come down to see what's going on, and to do so he turns himself into a great eagle, and he flies down and he sees that there's a little parrot. That is what the parrot's trying to do. And he flies next to the parrot and said, "You know, this is ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense for you to be doing what you're doing, because no matter how many times you drop some drops of water onto the fire, you're not going to extinguish it. You're not going to save your friends, and this is not going to. This doesn't make any sense what you're doing." And the parrot, flying next to the eagle, says, "You know, flying back to get more water, says, if not me, then who? And maybe." If I keep doing it, I don't know what the consequences are. I don't know what will happen, but this is what I have to do. And this moved the great god tremendously, and to see this steadfastness, this courage, dedication to be of help to others, no matter how seemingly pointless it is. Inspired by this, the great god created a great rainstorm, and a massive rainstorm that very quickly put out the fire and saved all the animals. And then the parrot said, "Yes, you see, you never quite know. I couldn't quite know what effect my efforts were going to make. But you see, they worked." So this idea of what I like this story, a lot, is that for me, the naturalness of which the naturalness of the parrots helping others, that his whole being was dedicated to doing this, and I liken it to a parental care. Some parents would do the same for their child. They would do whatever it took. They would sacrifice themselves for the life of their child. And there's something kind of almost natural that parents care for their kids. And you see that in the natural world as well, that so many mammals, animals, care for their young. And sometimes at a tremendous sacrifice, dedication, willingness to die for their little kids if necessary, to protect them from predators or anything else. And this kind of parental dedication, care, exactly what this nature of that care or that love or that devotion is, I don't know, but it does feel when it occurs, it doesn't have to always occur, but when it occurs, a kind of a naturalness to it. And so this parrot was just simply acting on natural instincts, acting on a natural good heart, that was not limited by the small sense of self that's constructed about me, myself, and mine, what's in it for me, and will people like me if I do it? Will I be praised? Or maybe I have to do this because then I'll avoid condemnation. People won't think bad of me that I ran off and abandoned my friends. And all these kinds of calculations, concerns of self that are a contraction, a constriction, a limiting factor to how people live their lives, all the stories we live in, and both imagined stories that predict the future, what this all means. But when all those can fall away, which is part of the function of meditation, then we tap into something very different, a very different orientation, a very different set of values, a very different way of being in the world that's not boxed in or limited by conceit and stories and ideas of should and shouldn't, and even ideas of obligation and what we're supposed to do. So the parent was not living under some duty-bound rule that it was supposed to save all these other beings. But I think of it as just natural movement of the good heart. And then we don't know what the unseen world will do. We don't know what the effects are going to be, the impact we have. And sometimes some people do a small act and it has a huge impact and it changes the world. The woman who filmed, the teenager, 17-year-old who filmed George Floyd's murder, she had no idea that she was doing anything but trying to record and have justice by having a record of what she saw. But her little action had a huge impact on the nation and the world. And so we never know. And maybe we shouldn't know the impact we have. And I'll end with one more little story that comes from a Sufi tradition. There was a genie who came to a Sufi and said, I will grant you two wishes. And what would those wishes be? And you can have anything you want. And the Sufi says, wherever I go, I want to benefit people. But I don't want to know that I'm doing it. And so the genie gave the Sufi a big bag to carry, a special bag that had seeds of all kinds of wonderful, beneficial plants, and had a little hole in the back. So it was constantly, but as the Sufi was carrying it and walking along, the seeds would fall out of that backpack onto the ground and sprout and create new plants. But because it was always happening behind the Sufi, and Sufi was always traveling on, the Sufi never got to know the way which was benefiting all the people behind it through growing plants and food and forests and trees and whatever it was. So who knows what the unseen world responds to our goodness and our care. That comes not from obligation, but comes from the awakened goodness in our own hearts. May we all be parents. Thank you.